The House and Senate this week will begin to reconcile the Medicare prescription drug bills that passed last month. One of the most contentious issues is whether to make wealthier Medicare enrollees pay more for their coverage. NPR's Julie Rovner reports.
The House version of the Medicare bill includes a provision that would make those with incomes over $60,000 a year pay more of their own drug costs before a catastrophic drug coverage benefit kicks in. The very wealthiest, those with incomes over $200,000, would have to spend $12,000 on drugs before coverage would begin. Most other beneficiaries would have to spend only $3,500 out of pocket. Republican Nancy Johnson of Connecticut said the provision is a matter of fairness.
I personally do not believe that someone with a $200,000 income living in a gated community should have exactly the same subsidy as someone struggling along on $25,000 or $30,000 of income.
In the Senate, a bipartisan group of members offered an amendment to the bill that would have reduced the government share of Medicare's existing monthly premium for the Part B outpatient program. Currently, the $58.70 monthly premium beneficiaries pay covers a quarter of the program's costs. The government pays the other three quarters. Under the amendment, those with incomes above $100,000 would have paid a premium covering half the cost. Those with incomes above $200,000 would have paid the entire cost. California Democrat Dianne Feinstein was one of the amendment's sponsors.
What this amendment says is that if you can afford to pay the price for the Medicare Part B premium, you should.
The Senate amendment was approved on a test vote, but was dropped when Massachusetts Democrat Edward Kennedy threatened to filibuster the entire bill. This isn't the first time efforts have been made to relate beneficiary payments to their incomes. The first President Bush proposed it in 1991, and President Clinton included it as part of his health reform plan in 1993. One reason it hasn't become law yet, says former Medicare Administrator Gail Walensky, is that it simply hasn't been worth the trouble. Currently, the vast majority of beneficiaries, about 98%, don't have enough income to have to pay the higher premiums.
But as the baby boomers start retiring, or as we come up to the people just in front of the baby boomers, that is going to look like less of a rationale because these are people that have more income and more assets.
At the same time, she says there will be fewer working people to support the retirement needs of the baby boomers. That makes it even more important to require those seniors who can afford to pay more to do so. But Walensky and others insist that such requirements are not means testing.
Means testing to many people sounds like a welfare program that is limiting a benefit to those who are very low income. Income relating does not have that connotation. It sounds like, as the name suggests, relating a benefit or a tax to what someone's income is, and so it has less baggage that it carries with it.
But there is one piece of baggage that comes along with most proposals to charge people with different incomes different amounts. That's the need for people to disclose their incomes. It leads to accusations like this one made by California Democrat Pete Stark during the House debate.
The interesting thing is that every senior's income data will be turned over to any insurance company in the United States that requests it. So, seniors, so much for your privacy. Every one of those people that calls on the phone and interrupts your dinner to sell you some hokey insurance is going to have complete data on your income, courtesy of the Republicans.
Republicans insist that income data can't be turned over to insurance companies under the bill, but it would likely require the Internal Revenue Service to get involved. That could be just as politically dicey, and it could result in the proposal getting dropped once again. Julie Rovner, NPR News, Washington.